Our reading is from the great prophet Isaiah, some of the most beautiful poetry in all of Scripture. Can be found in this great book that includes the fullness of life, including human weakness, struggle, pain, love, deliverance, hope, and new beginnings. These words come from a new beginning in the ongoing love affair between God and his people. From the 55th chapter of Isaiah come these words. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
The Reverend Graham Van Curen is my friend and mentor. He served as my supervisor for my student internship in Somersville, Connecticut, for the 2 years that I was there. And each and every Sunday, he used the same prayer before every sermon. I would like to use that prayer this morning. Will you pray with me? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. There would be many who would dismiss it as sheer coincidence, but I don't think so. You see, this passage that Mary read this morning, the one assigned for the lectionary for today's reading, ended up being the exact same one that Jeremy and Megan picked out for their wedding yesterday. Jeremy is smart, and so is Megan. But I don't think they had any idea it was showing up in the lectionary. But nonetheless, the words that they wanted to frame their wedding are the words that the Spirit sent us for this day. Coincidence? I don't think so. This reading from Isaiah is a story of blessing and relationship. It is, I believe, a story of the joy that explodes from creation itself when love is found and when hope comes home. These words today in Isaiah form both a climax, but also the words for a new beginning, just as they did yesterday. Make no mistake about it. Yesterday was indeed a climax. Months of planning and conversations between Jeremy, Megan, and I coming together in beautiful ways. You know the two of them. And so when they came to me and said, would you officiate at our wedding? I said, yes, but there's going to be a few things that you're going to need to do. And I said, first of all, we need to meet at least three times. And Jeremy cut me off and said, Brent, three? We were really kind of hoping for a dozen or so, if that's okay with you. I said, okay, we can do that. I said, but, you know, I'm also going to be sending you some questions that I expect you to think about and contemplate and reply to. To which Megan replied, well, that's great, but we also had some books that we were thinking about reading together with you. And if you know Jeremy and Megan, when they talk about books, they're not talking about books. They're talking about books. So yesterday was a climax in the sense that we had spent a great deal of time together preparing for that day. You need to know that hundreds, if not thousands, of hours were put in by parents of both the bride and the groom, by florists, calligraphers, wedding planners, and photographers. Everything was beautiful. Jean Stackhouse played the piano, Marjorie and Jack sang. And when I arrived at the reception at Gedney Farms yesterday, and the first time I saw Jean, she came up to me and gave me a huge hug and said, "We made it. It's over." And it was a joyous sentiment, but a heartfelt one. It did feel, in some ways, to be an ending yesterday. But the deeper truth of yesterday, and the one expressed here in Isaiah, is really more of a beginning full of promise and hope. The kind of beginning you cheer on with all your heart. In any wedding, it seems to me that applause always breaks out in two places. Both when you announce the marriage and they seal it with a kiss. And their kiss was a good one. And so maybe the applause was partly for that. But also when the recessional begins. And they go out that aisle to begin their life together. For then, with our cheer, we are sending the new couple out in joy that they might be led back to this place and to their home in peace. And it does seem that at that very moment, the hills and mountains join in the revelry and that trees indeed clap their hands. Because relationship, I think, good and true and deep and meaningful relationship of any kind is always worth cheering for. In our theology, we believe that God entered into the act of creation itself for the sake of relationship. God, we don't think, had to create anything, but instead chose to create in order to be in relationship with that creation. And of course, among our oldest readings, the book of Genesis reminds us that one of God's first observations about that creation is that it is not good for human beings to be alone, that we are meant to be in committed relationships with one another. And so God created another, a partner, an introduction into relationship. Marriage, I think, is a special kind of relationship. It is a public one and a covenantal one. I need to be honest, there are very few opportunities to preach on marriage because neither Jesus nor Paul had much to say on the subject, or at least the Bible didn't record that they did. And so today is a wonderful excuse to talk about something that is essential to our relationships with each other and our relationship as a church. Marriage is a bound relationship. Of all the things Jeremy and Megan and I spent the most time on, it was their vows, for it is those vows that ground them in covenant. Those vows are the things, public promises made in this holy setting. They are sacred obligations to guide not just the day, but their journey. They are not some vague aspirational statement, but rather when you get married, you are forced to decide what promises you are going to make to each other and how you will live into them. In this day and age, the vast majority of marriages I do take the traditional vows and build upon them to make them more personal, to expand upon them. They are end up being a specific set of conditions and terms meant to ground and guide the relationship. And beyond that, I think that the uttering of vows are real and effective. They accomplish something. In the Catholic tradition, of all the sacraments that are performed, the only one that is not performed by the priest is the sacrament of marriage. Oh, the priest is there just as I was here yesterday. But Jeremy and Megan didn't get married when I pronounced it such. I merely bore witness to what had already happened. For you see, it is in the expressing of the covenant, the expression of those promises, that they are bound by the power of the Spirit to one another. I encourage everyone who gets married to take those vows and to have them done up beautifully and placed in a room where they will see them every day. My sister-in-law shares it's a bit awkward that a picture of me hangs in their bedroom. But the reason it's there is because I officiated at their wedding, and they couldn't take a picture of the lovely bride and groom without catching me behind them. And above their dresser are their vows. Every day, they stop and they read them to remind them as they start the day of what they had promised to each other. For God knows every day of any marriage, or any relationship for that matter, doesn't always live up to the beauty and promise of a wedding day. But the covenant, the promise, the vows, that's what we come back to. Jeremy and Megan's vows are in your bulletin this morning. They're beautiful and built to last a lifetime. Take them home and read them, and what you will discover in them is that they speak of a life lived in humility and openness, a life willing to be surprised and to keep on learning, a life remembering why they fell in love in the first place. And also in these vows is a calling to live in love better. They are a touchstone and lasting foundation for a relationship carried out in the midst of the changing dynamics that are inherent to being a human being. Yesterday was an absolutely still afternoon. And yet, when Megan and Jeremy made those vows, I looked out through those clear glass windows, and that big purple beach over there, it was clapping. Somehow, despite no wind outside, the branches were rustling together. For you see, when relationships are formed and found, creation can't help but to burst forth in joy. These poetic verses of Isaiah, I think, are perfect for a wedding. In fact, I know that they were used at Martha and Rick's wedding. Were they used at anyone else's wedding out here? David. The joy that's in this reading is also about the joy of relationship grounded in God and guided by covenant. As Walter Brueggemann writes, the joy springs forth from the relationship here that's being renewed between God and the people, being restored and made new. For you see, the people were coming home. They had been in exile for generations. And this part of Isaiah marks the end of a passage where the people are finally coming home, and the relationship that had gone so astray between God and the people is being remade. And so Isaiah, the great poet, envisions that the mountains and the hills and the trees are sounding forth in joy. But just like yesterday, that time for the people was not a climax or an ending, even though it was full of joy, but rather it was a new beginning. The beginning of this section of Isaiah is found in Isaiah 40, where God says, comfort, comfort my people. I will bring you home. I will restore the covenant that I made with David, and you will be part of that covenant, and together we will be in relationship for all of eternity. And Isaiah here points out that the fidelity of God is not ephemeral or fleeting, but rather it's real and effective, just like the rain that we have had so much of this spring that has yielded a bounty of flowers and fruit. Friends, marriage is a special relationship, but it's not the only kind. There are so many other kinds of relationship that are true and life-giving. But one thing about marriage is it requires preparation and intentionality. It requires thoughtfulness and reverence. It is also, though, the metaphor that has long been used to describe our relationship together as one body. The relationship between the church and Christ himself. If the Bible describes how the church is related to God, it is almost always as in the bonds of holy matrimony, grounded by God and secured in sacred covenant. And when people choose to become a member of this church, they do the same things Jeremy and Megan do. Well, we don't meet 12 times. We generally meet one or two. You're not forced to read books, but we do get together and talk. You may not have the beautiful flowers that Megan had yesterday, but we do give you a little bit of a corsage. But more than all of that, what is the same in joining this church as getting married is the act by which it happens, is the proclaiming of covenant. When members join this church, it is not anything I do or say that does it. It is the fact that you and the new members recite a holy, sacred covenant with one another, in reminder that not every day will be as beautiful as the day that you join. This model of marriage is a good one for all relationship. For the wording that starts a wedding goes something like this: marriage is a holy estate, not to be entered into lightly, but rather reverently. I know that yesterday, many of us who were part of it used the experience of yesterday to reflect either on our own marriages or on some other relationship. It was a time of great joy. And I hope that yesterday, whether you were there or not, takes all of us back to the reminder of the sacred promises that we made to one another and the everlasting covenant we share with God. I know that the topic of clapping in church is one that evokes mixed emotions. There are some who love it and some who are not such fans. But here's what I know. Yesterday, when Megan and Jeremy affirmed their love and vows, our clapping was like the song of the mountains in support. When they walked back down that aisle, the thunderous applause from within this building was joined by the myriad of trees beyond this place. And even if somehow they forget all of that clapping on their wedding day, all they need to do is go outside and hear the rustle of the leaves, and they will hear creation singing out in joy and clapping their hands. For when relationship is true, whether in marriage, forming a family, or in this church when we form one body, or whether in the myriad of other ways that good and healthy relationship comes together, the act of joining in relationship fits so completely with God's great desire and yearning that the whole of creation responds in joy. So if you ever lost or lonely, if you're ever being tripped up by those roots or rocks that the world puts in your way, simply stop for a moment. Listen for the rustling of the trees. Listen for the sound of the music wafting from the hills. And remember the sacredness, the beauty, the love of the relationship you share here with one another and with a loving God. Amen.